The reading is taken from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. Joshua installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, "Into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah, good. I'm just going to get my visual aid, which I will use later. So thank you for listening. Well, I'm hoping you're going to listen anyway. But let's just read one of those scriptures. "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I will give them. Be strong and very courageous." And, you know, 105 years ago, yesterday, on the 11th of November, 1918, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, millions of men across the war-torn globe laid down their guns, heralding the end of World War I. Known at the time as the war to end all wars. A Second World War followed 21 years later, raging even further destruction and calling for a new sacrifice. I'm speaking today about courage. We've heard about courage today. And the Lord told Joshua to be strong and very courageous. So I looked up the definition of courage in the Cambridge Dictionary, and it says, "Courage is the ability to control fear in a dangerous or difficult situation." I'll just say it again, the ability to control fear in a dangerous or difficult situation. And what I want to say is that courage can come at a price. It can come at a cost. On Remembrance Sunday, we remember those who've shown courage in war, terrorism, genocide, and in particular, those who've served in the military or with the military. I was informed recently that at this time, here and now, there are 42 conflicts going on around the world. That is difficult to understand when there are two major wars going on that we know about, but the other 40, I'm not really sure where they are, but it was from a very secure source that I received this information. Courage can be on a battlefield where heroic acts take place, or if you're a cadet, it may be at school. If you've seen a friend or a classmate being bullied and you have had to stand up to protect them, this is a very courageous thing to do. And courage can be physical, emotional, spiritual, or moral courage. When we stand up for what is right, this is when we control fear. We control fear in a dangerous or difficult situation. You know, courage carries a cost. Courageous actions and lifestyles are not without consequence. It's costly to us personally, and we may be disadvantaged as a result. We have to lay aside our comfort. We may suffer loss, which causes grief and pain and loneliness. There may be a personal, there may be a risk to our personal safety for the greater good. In John 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than to lay his life down for his friends." It takes real courage to do this. So courage carries a cross. And my friend is going to come and just hold the cross for me for a moment. In Matthew 16, 20, could you just say that that's it, so they can, that's it. In Matthew 16, 24 to 26, Jesus asks us to pick up our cross and follow him. Have you ever thought as to why we need to carry a cross? Stay there, and follow Jesus. Well rehearsed. It is certainly an act of obedience. But I think that we get an illustration of what this means when we look at the account of Simon Cyrene in Matthew 27. Simon carries the cross of Jesus, following him to a place of sacrifice where Jesus is crucified in his place for our sins. Jesus calls us to humbly follow him to a place of sacrifice where he takes our place and dies on the cross. Just hold it at the front, just the cross at the front, yeah. And dies for us, for our sins. And we need to do this daily as we make the intentional choice to follow Jesus wherever he leads, recognizing that what the world offers is transitory or short-lived, but what Jesus offers is eternal. Thanks very much, Joe. In Matthew 16, 25 to 26, it says, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" I want to just tell you a few stories where people have laid down their lives. There's a lady called Edith Cavell. Edith once famously announced, "Patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness towards anyone." She was a British nurse in World War I who ran a Belgian clinic. Cavell saved hundreds of lives on both sides in her medical capacity. She also managed to smuggle nearly 200 Allied troops from Britain, France, and Belgium out of a then occupied Belgium. Her plot was eventually discovered, and Cavell was put on trial by the German government and executed. Her death caused shockwaves, helped a surge in military recruitment for the for British recruitment for the military, and some say she was a martyr. Edith was courageous, strong, and very courageous, and contributed hugely to the war, but she paid the price by doing so with her life. Now, Adrian Carton DeWitt famously known as the unkillable soldier. Carton served in the Boer War, World War I and World War II. In the process, he was shot in the face, losing his left eye. He was also shot through the skull, hip, leg, ankle and ear. No wonder they called him the unkillable soldier. Having previously lost an eye and a hand in battle, Carton, as commanding officer, was seen by his men pulling the pins of grenade out with his teeth and hurling them with his one good arm during the Battle of the Somme. For his bravery, the 36-year-old was awarded the Victoria Cross. But he humbly made no mention of that in his memoirs, claiming it has been word by the 8th Gloucesters, for every man has done as much as I have. Adrian paid the price of courage, losing his eye, his hand, and many other life-changing injuries inflicted upon him. You see, courage can come at a cost. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about Maurice Victor William Ransom, who was my father in World War II. He was in the Navy, and on the 5th of April, 1942, his boat, HMS Cornwall, was sunk in the Indian Army by the Japanese. He survived by swimming around in the ocean for 3 days, with sharks all around him, feeding off the dead bodies of his comrades. When he was rescued, he was blind and couldn't see. But after hospital treatment and resettlement, his eyesight was restored. He rarely spoke about the war, but I once observed him watching a naval war film in the front room of our home. I was about 14 years old. He just sat quietly crying. I never asked him why. He was courageous, but the pain and the consequence of the war were evident in his life. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in a church near Poole. A young man, I'll call him Peter, about 42, came up to me after he had heard a story about a recent mission that I'd been on to Armenia. I'm going to tell you that story and then I'll come back to Peter. I'd been in Armenia where I'd been speaking to internally displaced people, refugees in their own land, who had 10 days previously fled from their home in a place called Nagorno-Karabakh, where the Azerbaijan army had claimed their land and effectively kicked out 120,000 ethnic Armenians from their land, which is where their ancestors had lived for hundreds of years. I was speaking in the churches where we were visiting into fear, shock, trauma, and we ministered to approximately 50 people suffering what is now called post-traumatic stress disorder. For us, this trip was unusually dangerous, and we took out war and terrorism insurance, and we had an exit plan in case the Azeris decided to cross the borders into Armenia, and we needed a quick departure. While speaking in a church, I was sat with a lady who told us that the only thing she had from her homeland where she'd lived all her life, she was probably about 50, she'd picked up a handful of soil and brought it with her in the car with all her family. That's all she had from being displaced from her homeland. And the journey she'd been on had taken 4 days, and yet normally it would be 5 hours. And the whole family came in their small car. They're now living in a small village in Armenia in difficult and heart-wrenching circumstances. They were traumatized because 2 weeks before we arrived, they'd just lost their nation, their homes, some of their family killed, their livelihoods, and in their eyes, their future. But I could see their courage, and life for them would go on, but the price for them was huge by exercising this courage. Our prayer, and our team also prayed for another lady whose son had been caught up in a huge explosion in a fuel depot. Some of you may have, it was even on the BBC News, and was in a hospital. Her son was in hospital with 70% burns. Her son's life was in danger. She again had no home, a broken family, and a very sick son, and no hope. So that was, there was courage in the people that we were meeting. Let me come back to Peter, who I met in a church in Palm. He said, I have PTSD and I'm prone to alcoholism. I sat and listened to his story. He said he'd been in the Royal Marines. He'd been in the Special Boat Service, and I believe in the Special Air Service. He'd been a trained sniper in Afghanistan and had sat for days watching and waiting for the Taliban to appear in order to take them out. He said he knew he'd killed many people. He then became a dog handler, and he loved this dog. He knew this dog well because he'd trained it. And he went and he sent his dog one day to an operation in a minefield. Sadly, on the way back, the dog was killed. And that's what finally broke Peter, was the pain of losing his dog. But obviously the consequences of the previous life was significant. Peter was a broken man, and I sat and I listened. He talked and he wept. I suggested he needed to forgive himself, and he agreed. But at that stage, he was far from being able to do that. Then I asked him if I could give him a hug. And he looked at me. What? A retired lieutenant colonel giving me, a sergeant, a hug? Anyway, I said yes. So I gave him a massive hug. And he wept and wept and wept on my shoulder. He needed a mother's love from a nearly 70-year-old woman. He's now in church and on the edge of becoming a Christian and to know Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. But there's much pain, and I suspect years of restoration to be done. Courage carries conviction. This conviction that God is faithful and his promises are true. Genesis 18:23 says, will not the judge of the earth do right? You know, we can stake our lives on our Heavenly Father, on his promises, that even in the face of trial and difficulty, he is the one who he says he is. He is on the throne, and his eternal purposes will come to pass. Those of us who are not Christians can still be strong and courageous and demonstrate great courage. I've seen it in the military. And we'll do that because they're convicted to do the right thing because of their training, because of their commitment. To finish, I just want to encourage us that on a daily basis, we can all be courageous, and sometimes strong and very courageous. Whether it's a British nurse in Belgium, a naval seaman in the Indian Ocean, a nearly 70-year-old woman in Armenia, or a young boy at school defending his friend who is being bullied. I urge us all to put our faith in Jesus Christ, who died on that cross to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. He is the one who will help and convict us to be strong and very courageous. I hope as we remember today those killed in World War I, World War II, will be remembered, but also those who have lost their lives in the war since then, in the many wars the British military have taken part in, but also, in particular, those who are still suffering today as a result of their military service, suffering from PTSD, pain, loneliness. I pray we will remember them. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jan.